1 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, understanding discernment. Father, we thank you for this time together to open up your word, to study it, to allow your spirit to teach us and give us insight. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to teach it accurately. And Lord, really on this topic of discernment, help us to really embrace it, understand it, and be able to live it in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, in 1 Corinthians 2, it does not use the word discernment. It uses the word judgment. But in the Greek, that word can be translated as discernment, the same as judgment. There's an interesting tool if you ever want to find out. It's called Brown's Driver Briggs. That's one, and the other is Thayer's, or you can just use the Strong's Concordance. Every number in the Bible in Strong's is assigned a number, and so if you take that number and you put it into use that number to look it up, and it's either Thayer's or Brown's Driver Briggs. It might be both. One's old, one's New Testament. Anyways, it will tell you every time that Greek word or Hebrew word is used. So even if that word is translated in one place discernment, one place judgment, another place it might be insight, those are all possible translations, it will tell you every place that Greek word is used. So that way you don't have to search the English words and you only come up with discernment. You can search the Greek word and come up with every place that Greek word in the original language is used. So judgment here is oftentimes also translated from the Greek as discernment. And so we see here that this idea of discernment, or being able to judge, to discern what is good, what's right, what's godly, is important. And so I think this has been on my mind for a while, to teach on the subject of discernment. The word discern, what a biblical definition of discern, means to examine, prove, or test, to scrutinize, to see or understand the difference, to make a distinction as to discern between good and evil, truth and falsehood. I would add to that God and not godly. So it's to be able to tell the difference, because a lot of times in our human, on the surface, something may appear to be one thing when in reality it's something else. It may appear to be good, but it really is not going to be beneficial. It may appear to be true. It may have a ring of truth to it. But if you really examine it, if you can discern, you know that it's a falsehood. It may seem to be, there's a lot of things out there nowadays that are being put out as being, this is God. Like you can love, love is love. Well, I don't even know. I don't think God views it that way, okay? Love is a very specific thing in Scripture. And so you may say things like that and it seems good, but if you have discernment, you know that no, that's not really right. Discernment allows us to really be able to identify what is true, what is right, what is good, what is God. And I think that in this day and age, what we're living in now, more than ever, it is really critically important that we as Christians have the ability to discern, so that we are not deceived. Discernment is the antidote to deception. Write that on the flyleaf of your Bible, as my pastor used to say. Discernment is the antidote, because I just came up with that right then. That's the Holy Spirit, is the antidote to deception. If I am able to discern, then it will keep me from being deceived. And so I think the world is being completely flipped upside down, and we're being told that that's good, that that's right, that these things are proper. And it's important that we're going to be able to discern that that is not, in fact, the case. So I want to look today. It's not something really a topic I've ever heard much taught on, the idea of discernment. And I would just say, if you are going to be a functioning Christian, a productive Christian you must be discerning. That is something that I would say, you, if you've never thought about it, if it's not something you've really been aware of, you've not heard it taught on before, and I really have never heard much teaching on the idea of discernment, you need to make a point, write it down somewhere, do something to remind yourself that you need to be in the process of developing discernment. So we're going to talk today about what discernment is and what it can do for us. So I want to go back to where I opened in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? We start here by seeing that Paul writes that it is the spiritual person that can discern or make judgments. Discernment is a spiritual ability. Now, we can be wise in our natural self and tell, like, oh, well, yeah, it's wise to do that. It would be unwise to do that. But discernment is specifically for those instances when something by all natural measure and appearance seems to be a good and proper thing, but it's not. Okay? That's when I need discernment. Because in the natural, it seems to be good or proper or godly, but in the spiritual realm, what's going on behind it and where it's going to lead is not good, it's not right, it's not what God wants. The only way we can know that is if we discern in the spirit. It's not in the natural. It's not by our own natural intelligence or wisdom. So we see here that it is you must be a spiritual person, or at least be aware of and open to the moving and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. You may not feel qualified to make judgments. And you say, well, wait a minute, the Bible tells me not to judge. Chris? Right. I'm sure it does, but I can't come up with anything right off the top. We don't normally think, like you said, we don't normally think like that. I can think of biblical examples. His question was, we talk about something, it appears to be good or godly, but it's really not. Are there things that appear not to be good, but actually are good or godly? Actually, if you go to the Old Testament, there'd be all kinds of examples. I mean, they're killing people. You know, there's fire raining down from heaven, all kinds of things that appear not to be so great, okay? Even Moses killing the Egyptian. I mean, was that a good thing? It doesn't appear to be. By all standards, we would say that was not right. But where did it lead to? I don't know. Maybe that was a part of God's plan. I mean, God will at times destroy evil where, you know, so I have to discern in what is evil and what is not evil by God's standard, not by my standard. So I would say yes, certainly thinking in Old Testament terms. But we need to be able to discern the spiritual person. We may say, well, I don't feel qualified to make judgments, and who am I to judge? And the Bible says not to judge. Well, here's the thing. When you are discerning, you are not making the judgment. That's the whole point. If we are discerning, it is Holy Spirit that is telling us what is right, wrong, godly, not godly. We're not judging. The spiritual man makes judgments because it is the Spirit that is teaching us or telling us what is really good and what is really God. So we need to, and if you don't think that you can make judgments, you know what? You need to change your mind. It's not a good idea to disagree with God. And God says you can. In fact, he says you should. So it should be something that's purposeful. We're not going around looking to judge everybody, but we are going around. We should be purposeful about discerning what's really going on around us and in people's lives and in events that we are involved in. We should be purposeful in discerning those things. I recommend here to you this morning not to be in disagreement with God. So if he says you are a spiritual person judges, then you should be seeking to do that. If we discern correctly, it goes on and says, we are not judged. How many of you would like to never be judged? If we if we are discerning and we can make judgments about all things, but we are not judged. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. Everybody's life is examined. What do you mean we're not judged? If we are discerning and we discern properly, we will do what God wants us to do. Amen? And if I do what God wants me to do, what do I have to be judged for? So if we are truly in spiritual and we're able to judge and discern that I can tell what is God and what is not, and I can follow him and be obedient, and therefore there is nothing for me, I can judge properly, and yet at the same time, I'm not judged because I've done what God wants me to do. All this is possible, he concludes with, because we have available to us the mind of Christ. And I would start right here. Start with that and pray that the Holy Spirit give you guidance and understanding of it. We have the mind of Christ. Going back one verse, 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Without having God's Spirit, and without, it's not just enough to have the Holy Spirit, but you need to train yourself in hearing Holy Spirit, using Holy Spirit, understanding Holy Spirit. Without having God's Spirit and being trained to really understand and hear the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to discern the mind of Christ. It says, the things that Holy Spirit would reveal to us, the things that the mind of Christ would communicate to us, if we don't have the Spirit of God, they're just foolishness to us. Want an example? Bible says, if you want to receive more, give away. Well, that doesn't make any sense, right? If you want to be great, then submit yourself and serve everybody else. That doesn't make any sense to you unless you are a spiritual person. Those things are foolishness. And the world tells us that. The world, and you can see people that go, no, what was the movie? There was a movie back in the 80s, Kirk Douglas and Wall Street, Greed is Good. And people were practicing greed is good theory and getting all kinds of wealth and all kinds of, you know, jet skis and yachts and da-da, you know, the whole, it appeared that, boy, they were right. Well, not really. That didn't work out all that well. In the long run, that really didn't work out all that well. So it will never make sense to us. The world will never understand that because they're not spirit. That would seem foolish. Anybody that practiced the motto, greed is good, would think that what Scripture teaches, if I want to receive, then give, would be foolishness. And so we need to have the Spirit. This is why I'm always telling you, just a little side note, I know a lot of people are uncomfortable when we talk about Holy Spirit because it just seems too, you know, kind of thing. I don't know what to tell you, man, other than get over it. Because this is what the Bible says, okay? People are weary of Holy Spirit. And there's been a lot of abuses in the name of Holy Spirit, certainly in the church over the decades. But just because some people have gotten it wrong through immaturity or even intentionally doesn't mean that what the Bible says isn't true. It's not our job to, you know, to just then reject it. It's our job to do it right. And that's what you see. When Paul brings correction to the very spiritual church in Corinth, he doesn't say, you're doing a lousy job with Holy Spirit, stop doing it. His answer is, let me teach you how to do it properly. And that's what we need to do. So if you have those hang-ups about Holy Spirit and, you know, and being filled with the Spirit, then you need to get over it because this is critically important. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So when we're going to discern, we need to start with the Word of God. This is the foundation for everything that we build our understanding on. If anything that we discern, judge, is in contradiction to what's in the Bible, then our discernment is wrong. We're missing something, isn't right. It can never contradict what's in Scripture. The Word of God is always our starting point. It says it's living and active. When we fill our minds and our hearts with God's Word, we will have the understanding that we of how God sees the world. If I understand the Bible, I'll understand God's perspective on the world. That will help me to discern what is God and what is not, because I know His view of mankind and the world and how He interacts with us. At least it's not complete, but it's a starting point. I can read it and I know it, and I can make that my foundation. So when I see things going on, I can discern, well, that makes sense, because I know that's how God interacts with the world. I know that's one of God's goals that He wants to accomplish. So I discern that to be God, or I discern it not to be God. We fill our hearts and our minds with God's Word, then we can have an understanding of how God sees the world and what He desires to take place in the world. God's Word will define for us what is human or worldly and what is godly, what is spiritual, because it tells us, it divides spirit and soul, joint and marrow, okay, and reveals the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. When I know God's Word, it allows me to go, my reaction to this situation or my understanding of this situation, is that my own? Is that my own motives, or is it God's? Are those my thoughts, or are those godly thoughts? Because I have my thought, it's like I have my human thoughts and my own personal, oftentimes selfish thoughts, and then I have God's thoughts. So which are they? It helps me to distinguish between the two. And that distinction, being able to distinguish, helps me discern what is right, what's good, what's godly. Knowing God's Word will enable us to discern our thoughts and others' thoughts and our understanding of our own hearts. We often don't even understand our own hearts and our own thoughts. We can all very easily be very self-motivated and not even understand it, because we can always justify and rationalize why I would want things to go my way. And it's not because it's selfish, it's just because it's right. It'll just work out better if things go my way. We can always justify and rationalize that. But if I have God's Word, it helps me understand, no, Randy, you're just being selfish. We had this discussion this morning in Sunday school, and I've said before, I think one of the best tools is, if you want to know if something is your own motive or God's motive or even Satan's motive, Jesus taught us that service is the greatest. He's the world's greatest servant, and those who want to be great in the kingdom of God serve. Satan was always about self-promotion, self-elevation. So if you're motivated by service, that's probably God. If you're motivated by self, that's probably... I'll let you fill in the blank. So it's the Word of God that helps us discern between these things. I want to make this clear. Until you're able to discern in this manner, you will always go with the worldly understanding first. It will always be your primary understanding. Because, folks, we live in the world. We function with everybody around us in the world. All the systems and mechanisms pretty much that we live in are worldly. And unless we really developed the ability to have spiritual discernment, and we do it by filling our lives with the Word of God and then praying over it, until we are willing to do that and develop it, we will always go to a worldly understanding first. Does that make sense? Let's go on. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is something that the Bible says that we need to do with constant training. It's something that we always need to be developing. I would call it maturity. We need to be maturing in our ability to distinguish good from evil, godly from ungodly, to mature it. This is the only way to become mature, with constant training. So he says, solid food. You know, we read on, we see this criticism of the writer of Hebrews in chapter 6, that most are still immature, only needing baby formula, basically, milk. He wants us to become mature, and we do it by constant use. Psalm 119, 100, I like this. It says, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. The writer here of Psalms says he has more understanding than the elders, you know, this elevated position of leaders, simply because of one thing, because I do what your word says to do. That makes me wise. That makes me smart. It makes me discerning. If you can be wiser than almost, you know, than everybody around you, if you simply do what God says to do, that's a good thing. In order to truly understand or discern God's teachings, we must put them into practice. Because he says, I have more understanding. I have more understanding. I have more judgment. I have better judgment. I have more discerning than the elders. Why? Because I do what God says to do. So if we want to be really discerning, we put it into practice. And through practice, we learn, we mature. And the more mature I am, the more discerning I am, the more I'm going to discern properly. When I first start out, maybe I discern properly 20% of the time, and I miss it 80% of the time. But if I put God's word into practice, his precept into practice, through constant training and constant use, I mature. And then at some point, someday, I discern properly 80% of the time, and I only miss it 20% of the time. That's what he's saying. You're going to know if you, because he obeys the precepts. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey the precepts. I said in our introduction that because of the times that we're living in, it's more important than ever to really be able to discern what's taking place in the world around us. I want to look at Luke 12, starting verse 54. We need to be able to understand what's going on in the world. Luke 12, 54 through 57. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge or discern for yourselves what is right? We are expected. I am not just making to you a recommendation that it might be beneficial. Maybe it's a good idea. We are expected by God to be able to discern the times that we live in and the events that are taking place around us. He's criticizing them. He says, you can understand the weather. In case you haven't noticed, we have a bunch of scientists that can't discern the weather. Okay? He says, you can discern the weather that all these computer models can't figure out. But you can't discern the times that are going on, the events that are going on around you in the world. Can I make a side note here? This is for the internet, if anybody may watch this out there. I heard somebody talk about the other day, the weather, you know, it was cold, pretty cold here a while back. Buffalo, again, you know, they got buried in snow. I mean, it was deadly for people. I love the video of the guy that stood in his garage and he opened the garage door and it went all the way up and there was nothing in front of him but snow. So he just put the garage door back down. I mean, there's nothing you're doing at that point, okay? You're not shoveling yourself out of that one. But they called it all these climate catastrophes. Folks, I've been alive 63 years. I've never seen a climate catastrophe. I've seen some weather catastrophes. I've never seen a climate catastrophe because there's been no ice age in my lifetime. That would be a climate catastrophe. The words we use are important. There are catastrophic weather events, that's not climate. Climate is when we have an ice age, okay? Or what has been one time fertile, the climate changes so much that it's now a desert, okay? Those are climate catastrophes. Don't let them deceive you in this way. You're going to have to do worse than the blizzard of 78 just to make me say something's changed, all right? It's never been worse than that, so... And besides that, all of us remember, a lot of us were in school in the 70s, and they were telling us about the next coming ice age, amen? Anyways, I digress. Oh, I'm very excited, a little advertisement here, about next week's message. In fact, it was hard for me not to jump ahead and want to do it this week, but I want to do it right. I am going to tell you, I know a lot of you don't want to get involved in politics. You don't want to hear about politics. You can't stand politics. Next week, I'm going to tell you how to develop a good, healthy, simple political philosophy, even if you don't care at all about politics. All right? It's going to be very easy and very simple. And when I get done, you'll say, he didn't even talk about politics. But I'm going to tell you how to develop a political philosophy next week. And it's going to be biblical. We always do biblical. Amen? Okay. So, I want to look at several individual points to make here the Bible makes about discernment. Let's go to John 7:24. Why does God want us to be able to discern, spiritual, godly, from a spiritual, godly perspective, rather than our own understanding? John 7:24 says, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Remember when I said that discernment is the antidote for deception? And why we are always going to first naturally go to our own human natural understanding? Well, God here says, stop doing that. Because when we do that, what are we basing it on? We are so dependent because we live in a world, we have five senses that help us interpret that world. We are so dependent on our five senses to tell us what is going on. Amen? I mean, that's the way God made us. That's the world that we live in. Judy and I were having this discussion yesterday. It would be so much more beneficial, and, maybe we've missed the boat on this in our case, but to communicate to young parents, raise your children to see themselves as spiritual beings more so than physical beings, because it gives them an eternal perspective, as opposed to what I just do and live in this life, and then that's it. Live with the sense that when this physical life is over, their real life begins, because we are spiritual beings more than we are physical beings. But God did make us and give us these five senses, and we tend to interpret the world around us through those five senses. God says right here through John in 7:24, stop judging like that. Stop using your eyes. Stop using your physical senses to make right judgments. The only way we can make right judgments is if I judge as God judges, and that's a spiritual judgment. People are always deceived with pretty, shiny objects. Amen? And I could get into some great political examples, but I won't. The pretty, shiny object is going to make you feel everything, life, so much better, but now the government owns you. I'll just leave it at that. Stop judging by natural appearances. I'm going to give you a real life example, and this is to my shame. I was invited, there's an organization called Rescue Mission, and it's what it is. You think of a rescue mission. Obviously started decades ago, with the winos and stuff, getting them off the street and trying to rescue them from that lifestyle. And obviously it's developed over the decades into, more substance abuse type of issues, not just the alcohol. And the Central Coast of California, where we were pastoring, wanted to start a rescue mission. The closest one was in Ventura, which was 100 miles away. And Santa Maria had become a city of 100,000 people. And so they were wanting to start their own rescue mission in that area. And so I was invited to be a part of the board for the rescue mission on the Central Coast to get this thing up and running. And we had a director for a while, and then he moved on to a different position, and we were needing to hire a new director. And so this man that was recommended to us by the Ventura Rescue Mission, that was kind of the parent organization helping us oversee what we were doing, this man was recommended. We met, you know, we go through his qualifications, his resume, we meet with him. And I mean, he checked all the boxes, said all the right things. And I can remember having the meeting with him, and everybody seemed to be happy. And inside of me, even though everything I'm hearing and seeing is right, this is what you want to hear, this is what you want to see, there's something inside of me going, no, this is not right. There's just something here about this guy that's just not right. So we then came time to discuss and to vote whether or not we were going to offer this man the job. And everybody, of course, was supportive because, again, all the right things were there. And I didn't want to be the one, you know, I didn't want to be the one stick in the mud. I didn't want to be the stone and, you know, in the horse's horseshoe causing discomfort. So I voted, yeah, okay. He was a director for about 6 months, and he embezzles a bunch of money and takes off. I can't tell you how to this day that bothers me, that God was speaking to me and I let him down. That's discernment. That's what I'm talking about. And I've tried to, and hope if that situation ever comes up again, I will be willing to say, I'm sorry that everything looks wonderful and you all love him, but no. Because man, I can't tell you how much that hurt. And here's the thing, I found out at least two other people, I shared that with him, and they go, you know what? We were getting the same thing, but we were afraid to speak up. That's discernment. That's judging by appearances. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Yeah, it's so easy to make a case in the human realm for something that seems to be, you know, good, and it's not. Proverbs 17:10. If we are discerning, God can more easily direct our lives. That's what we need. Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. When we discern something from God and it's a correction, like I had to be corrected, it you receive it, you hear it, and it benefits you more than if somebody were just like, you know, beating you to make you straighten up and do the right thing. If you're really wise, see, because discernment goes hand in hand with wisdom. If you're really wise, you'll be discerning. And if you discern what God says and he corrects you, you'll take that and it will produce more goodness in your life than having it beat into you. So which is it? Is it better to just to grow and mature in discernment or be physically corrected? We're far better off to be discerning, amen? It's far more productive. It's far more beneficial. When we are discerning, God can more easily correct us. You are easily corrected. If we were going down the wrong path, see, I was immature in my discerning, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I blew it. But when you are mature and you're discerning, I could have been more easily corrected than if somebody said, no, you can't do that, you know, and beat it into you. Discernment is good. If we have discernment, God can correct us. Once we are corrected, God can direct us. See, it's not just correcting us, it's then he can direct us. So discernment corrects us if we are mistaken about what we're seeing and understanding. And once we are corrected, he can then say, no, you're correct, don't go that way. Stop going that way, and we stop. That's correction. Now, instead, I want you to go this way and do this and understand this. So we correct. We can be more easily corrected and directed if we have discernment. Lack of discernment is actually double-mindedness. And the Bible is not in favor of double-mindedness. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Double-minded meaning we think we want it, we say we want to follow God, but we think like humans. We want to follow God and be obedient to him, but we follow instead the ways and the wisdom of the world. That's double-mindedness. That is the opposite of discernment. He says, don't do that. He actually calls that, you need to wash from that. You need to be cleansed from that. Purify your hearts. And if we're going to stop being double-minded, we have to have pure hearts. We have to purify ourselves from the worldliness. Psalm 119, 113a says, I hate double-minded men. Well, that's pretty clear. So, God is not in favor of lack of discernment. God is not in favor of us living and acting like the world when we say we are followers of him. James 1:7-8 says, That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. How can God bless us? How can God answer our prayers when we're double-minded? Which, again, is the opposite of being discerning. If I'm truly discerning, then everything going on around me, in front of me, in this local place, in my family, in interactions with people, and in the world, I understand from God's perspective. It's when I'm double-minded that I'm trying to understand what the world's understanding and yet say I'm following him. I can't do both. It's not possible. Discernment is the way that we get past that. We want God to bless us. We want God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. We want God to hear and answer our prayers. The only way we do that is by not being double-minded. And that means instead we are discerning. Amen. Proverbs 10:13. God wants us to be wise, not double-minded. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. So if God's going to find you to be wise, and we have like all of Proverbs is telling us that wisdom is the greatest thing that we can get a hold of in this, you know, in this life. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Right? But this says what? You can't be wise and not be discerning. So if wisdom is so critically important, and the writer of Proverbs says, get wisdom above all else. Well, I'm going to have a hard time doing that if I'm not discerning. What is discernment? Discernment is distinguishing the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, godly and not godly, not based on anything in this natural realm or human wisdom or appearance or anything, but instead from God's perspective. I'm almost getting there. Turn me to 1 Kings 3, verse 11. If we truly are discerning, then there's going to be a lot of blessings that come with it. I like this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life, and this is King Solomon, or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. Remember, God told Solomon, ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. God's commending Solomon because he didn't ask for wealth or punish his enemies. He asked for discernment. Because with discernment, you unlock the keys to the kingdom of God. Because you know what God is thinking. You know God's perspective. You know what God's doing. You know what is God and what is not God. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be, there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And I will, and if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Now, I am not telling you that God, again, is going to back up the armored truck to your front door and unload it and give you riches in that regard, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But you may not have that kind of wealth by the world standard, but with godly wisdom, with discernment, you have the ability to improve and sustain your life. I will give you riches. So wherever you start out, look, if you only got a buck and all of a sudden you have 10 bucks, that's a pretty big improvement, right? You might be rich by having the dollar of standard of having a dollar. If you got $10,000 and all of a sudden you improved to $100,000, that'd feel like I'm rich. I remember when I first went in the Navy and was living in the barracks and getting this little paycheck, I was rich. I could do anything I wanted to do. Now, I wasn't rich by the world standards, but I was rich by that standard. Then I started dating Judy and all that changed. But God promises he will improve our lives. He will sustain our lives. He will give us blessing. It comes, why? Because of, in King Solomon, because he asked for discernment. God, just let me discern what is you. I can work with everything from there. If I know it's you, if I can discern, if I can judge that this is really you, it's really God, not the world. It's good. It's not evil. It's right. It's not wrong. If I can discern that, then I can work with that, and I can go anywhere from there. And that's what God says. Because you ask for discernment, basically you receive all this. Let me close. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And this is my prayer, that you love your neighbor, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. It is not possible to have godly love for something that God does not love. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. God wants our love to abound. He wants it to increase. He wants it to overflow so that you're able to discern. Here's the thing, though. It is not, as much as God wants us to love, it is not love if we say we love something that God does not love. Hello? How can I know what God loves? Discernment. I can discern what is God. I can discern what God is for and what he is opposed to. I do need to abound in love, but I can't, it's not really love if God doesn't love it. And the only way I can know God loves it is because I can discern what is truly God. Are you with me? If we are to be pure and blameless in God's sight, we must be discerning. God calls us to be discerning in order that we can love as he loves. And if God does not love something, then we should not love it. That is, we need to remember that as a Christian. With all that's out there in the world, and where all this, you know, the craziness we see and everything, I keep talking about certain things, like I've talked about this whole idea that our government is wanting to develop this thing called central bank digital currency. It's essentially the mark of the beast. Without, you know, it may not be the mark of the beast, but it's got all the trappings of the mark of the beast, and it could function as the market. There is, if they move to this, I've said there is no truly Christian church that can operate on CBDC. Now there are plenty of Christian churches that will accept CBDC. But they are not true. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'm standing here today, and I'll say it for the whole world. They are not truly Christian. They might have the label Christian. They might think they're Christians. But if you understand the Word of God, you cannot operate on central bank digital currency and be truly Christian. and the battle that's going on right now within the United Methodist Church, you cannot be truly Christian and have drag queen shows on your platform and transgender ministers. You might think you're Christian, you might call yourself Christian, but you're not really Christian. I have to be able to discern what is God and love what God loves and reject what God rejects. And this is why it is so important to understand what discernment is. So this morning, that's what I wanted to present to you. Understand discernment, because it is absolutely critical. You cannot be truly Christian if you are not discerning.